day to be indigenous. Get up,
stand up. They are going to become more brutal.
Couldn't cut, he need cut again.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Hey, Kadagi to all my friends and relatives in four directions. You're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakanja Hade, along with my wife, Wendy Pilot. And we discuss, help me here, what do we discuss? Native issues all over Turtle Island. Yeah, all over, doesn't help when you're laughing at me. All over Turtle Island, we discuss Native issues and events. And as you know, Wendy, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
This portion of the show is brought to you by the Native American Community Clinic, and they're partnering with the Native Indian Cancer Society, and they are hosting a vaccine event on Friday, September 10th between 3 p.m. and 6 p.m., and it'll take place at the American Indian Community Clinic, which is right on Franklin Avenue in Minneapolis.
And so we know who runs that, don't we?
We sure do. He's going to be on the show today, Dr. Yeah. Anthony Stately.
Yes,
so go get your vaccine on Friday, September 10th between 3 and 6, and it's on Franklin Avenue at the American Indian Community Clinic.
Well, Wendy, we had a wedding for our daughter.
Yep, and we celebrated Saturday night. It was
thank God that's over, and now I feel like if I don't have COVID, we can go to we can go to the fair now because that means that means yeah, Jesus.
We'll know Wednesday or Thursday.
Yeah, pray for us. It might be the Lewis and Ogama show here.
Yeah.
While I'm on a ventilator.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, seriously. But, hey, it was great time, great pictures,
yes.
And you looked beautiful.
Oh,
and all internet's blowing up because of how you look. Not me. I'm just kind of like the doorman that happened to be in a picture with you, so I appreciate that. It was beautiful.
Yeah, it really was. It was a great event. It was really a beautiful celebration.
And we got the dance for,
we really,
you know,
we wish them all the best for a long, healthy and loving and caring relationship for their lifetime.
Yeah, I got to open up with a prayer, which I was really honored, and then had a few words for the bride and groom, and some serious and some fun, like when we first met him, and he came crawling down the hill of
Down the Mississippi bank and jumped into our pontoon, and that's how we first met him.
So. He didn't go through all that hard work to visit us. He was coming to see our daughter. So, hey, without any further ado, I know there's a ton of stuff that happened this weekend, and we're blessed to have Ogama with the news. So why don't we go to her right now?
Hey, Anin Bujou, everybody. I'm Ogama Gunuikwe. I am an enrolled member of the Red Lake Nation in northern Minnesota, and I've got some Stop Line 3 news for you. If you were tuning in last week, you know that the Minnesota Appeals Court had planned to rule on the 401 water permit case in Minnesota regarding the Line 3 pipeline. That ruling did come in today, and they did rule that the Minnesota Pollution Control Agency was not in the wrong, apparently, in granting the 401 water quality permit, despite the fact that the MPCA has publicly admitted that that 401 water permit was broken by Enbridge when their Line 3 spilled drilling fluid into the Mississippi River. So Paul Blackburn, the attorney for Honor the Earth, who was part of the many organizations and water protectors who were a part of that case, released a statement saying that once again, the courts have failed the Anishinaabe and its treaties, the people of Minnesota, and the protection of our mutually shared natural resources, and that they will continue to press their case in tribal court whenever appropriate and continue to resist the operation of Line 3 for the good of the state and the planet at a time of growing climate turmoil. So I definitely agree with that sentiment, Paul. Coming up from this past week, was huge in water protector country. So water protectors gathered for a rally at the Minnesota State Capitol last Wednesday, and more than 2,000 water protectors were gathered there for the Treaties Not Tar Sands Week of Action. That Treaties Not Tar Sands rally at the Minnesota State Capitol last Wednesday actually was the culmination to welcome the treaty walkers who had walked over 200 miles from the Minnesota headwaters to the Minnesota State Capitol to address Governor Walz and his inaction and his administration's inaction in protecting Minnesotans from the Line 3 pipeline. So that ceremony was 4 days long, and it ended with water protectors being hauled off the Capitol lawn after they decided to occupy because Walz had never come out to address water protectors. After that had happened on, I think it was Saturday, right, Robert?
Yes, it was the day of the wedding.
Yep. Camp McGeezy led a march from the Capitol to Governor Walz's residential mansion. They arrived as peaceful water protectors to rally at the mansion, and they were met with additional law enforcement who threatened the crowd with less than lethal weapons, quote, less than lethal weapons, and then brutally arrested 60 people at the governor's mansion. Tayshia Martineau, who's the founder of Camp McGeezy, chained herself to the governor's front gate. And she said that she was locked there to the fence demanding that Governor Walz speak to them because water protectors marched 256 miles from the headwaters of the Mississippi River to speak with him. And Walz had not come to listen to their voices at the Capitol. So they went to the residence and they were demanding to be heard, which I don't think is against the law. Is it, Robert?
Not last time I checked, Wendy. Mm-mm. And Ogama and Mm-mm. Lewis. And fans.
Yeah. So that was a pretty intense militarized police response that peaceful water protectors received at the state capitol in Minnesota this week. And, you know, it just has kind of continued on. And I am not impressed. Water protectors with GNU Collective ended up blocking a Line 3 pump station last week with an aerial structure that had never before been used. And Aiken County Police used pain compliance tactics on unarmed peaceful water protectors in an attempt to end the blockade. What they did is the police went up to these water protectors who were in an aerial structure who had no weapons and no way to defend themselves, and proceeded to do things like press into those water protectors' pressure points and cause them deep pain in an effort to get them to come down and to comply to end the blockade. So basically, they went up there and they tortured the person in the aerial structure trying to get the rest of the water protectors to back down, if you want to know what that looked like. And that was Aiken County Police. And now there's activists who were in at least 7 cities across the U.S. and Canada that organized solidarity actions. But of those solidarity actions, such as Shutdown D.C., Extinction Rebellion over in California, I don't believe any of them are being met with this militarized police response that water protectors are here in Minnesota, at least not that I've heard. If I'm wrong, please let me know if this is a nationwide response or if this is just a Minnesota problem that we're having with the police here. And then I guess in other news, just want to kind of throw in a national story here. And I don't know if Bob Blake talked about this last week, but I do want to let everybody know that there's an intertribal wind project that's getting a boost from Apple. So the Ocheti-Sacoan Power Authority is one of 15 businesses that was selected for Apple's inaugural Impact Accelerator program. So they're going to be receiving a grant or some money from Apple to put in a wind farm on the Oglala Reservation. OSPA, the Ocheti-Sacoan Power Authority, is owned by the Oglala, Rosebud, Cheyenne River, and Standing Rock, and Flandreau Yankee Sioux tribes. So it's pretty exciting.
Ocheti-Sacoan, congratulations.
Hey.
Thank you.
Hey. Awesome. Ogama Pinigigi for the news. 10 seconds. Who's up next? Lewis.
Yeah, we're going to have Jennifer Martell. She's in Standing Rock Sioux Tribe, but she's with Sitting Bull College.
Right on. And that we'll be right back. We got a jam-packed show. You're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake.
Stay with us.
Be my witness, may God. We are your relations.
Brothers.
Sisters.
Sons.
Daughters.
And some of us are your grandchildren.
We are your community. Historically, we held places of honor and respect. Because of the impact of colonization, some of us are rejected, thrown out from family, friends, and community, set up as targets for sexual violence, sex trafficked, humiliated, tortured, and murdered. Everybody has the right to be safe. We are your relatives. Remember,
homophobia is not traditional.
Sponsored by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
If you're hurting in your relationship or have been affected by sexual violence, you're not alone. Strong Hearts Native Helpline can help you through these difficult and uncertain times. Strong Hearts Helpline is a free 24/7 confidential domestic dating and sexual violence helpline for Native Americans. Help is available by calling 1-844-762-8483 or by clicking on the chat now icon on strongheartshelpline.org. This message is sponsored by the National Indigenous Women's Resource Center.
Life is a journey, and the Doherty Family College will help you get where you want to go. Located downtown Minneapolis, this affordable two-year college provides free textbooks, a laptop, meals, career coaches, one-on-one mentorship, and a Metro Transit Pass, making DFC the perfect pathway to a bachelor's degree. Turn your dreams into reality. Connect with a counselor today at dfc.stthomas.edu.
Hey, Ogama, I've been hearing a lot about this term, climate justice. What is that?
Climate justice is recognizing that the negative impacts of climate change don't affect all people equally. It also means transitioning from a fossil fuel-based economy to a more sustainable future. MN350 is one of the groups that's pushing for this transition to protect our futures. You can even get involved, too.
That's great, especially since I'm concerned about pipeline projects like Line 3. How can I help MN350?
Just find them on Facebook or visit mn350.org.
Hey, welcome back. Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakanjahare.
This portion of the show is brought to you by MN350, a grassroots organization fighting for climate justice.
Hey, Lewis, we got a great guest on here today, Jen Martell, and I've been following Jen for quite a few years here with her work, first as a water protector and now her other job. Why don't you give her a good shout-out here, and let's introduce her and get going here.
Yeah, absolutely. Jen Martell here has been working with Sitting Bull College for the last 18 years. She's at Standing Rock, and she's been involved with things like the Sechongo Lakota Treaty Council, as well as coordinating a lot of cultural teachings through Sitting Bull College and United Technical Tribes. I'll let her speak for herself. Jen, thank you for joining us on the program today.
Good evening. Good to see everybody.
Oh, good one. Hey, so John, let's start off right away here at the PNG again for being on. You've been at the front lines of treaty culture activism for decades, working with Sitting Bull College and the Visitor Center for 18 years. Tell us about your experience working with the college and how using academics like Sitting Bull College to help natives reconnect with culture. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
How to start out with it is I was a part of the not quite the residential school, but it was through the Mormon Church. It was called the Indian Placement Program. Basically, I left home when I was 8, and I was out in Idaho for 9 years, only coming back in the summertime, and so I really had a big disconnect. Something that I always knew that we were, you know, we were thinkers, we were creators, we were, you know, hands-on. There was an opportunity that came through the American Indian College Fund for a grant. And the vice president now, she said, would you like to do this grant? And it's always been in my back of my mind. That's like, how can we do these community? Because one of the things that I noticed was coming from my background of being raised off the reservation and then coming back and, you know, wanting to come and help my people is just seeing, you know, the disconnect, especially at the family, the forefront, you know, and always is our family, which is our home. And I thought, you know, if we can get back to making and being creative and going back to our traditional ways, I mean, we've never lost it. We were colonized and then assimilated and directed, you know, to do other, the lack of the betterment of, you know, we're in a society of where we use and waste so much, you know. And so if we were to go back to our way of life of, you know, creating and so forth, that we can get back to our Tiwahe, which is our family. That's our first government. I'm learning a lot with about treaties and practicing our inherent sovereignty. And, you know, no one can ever take that away. That is something that we can always do. So once we started the classes this year, we started 7 years of doing it. We pushed over 500 plus students. Wow. I think we're like at almost 300 classes.
Whoa.
What was that?
I said, wow, that's impressive.
Yeah, and really awesome grant opportunities through the First Nations Development Institute, the Bush Foundation, First People's Fund, and, of course, the American Indian College Fund. I'm the grant writer. I'm the one that implements, finds the teachers. My teachers, who I seek out, is people of the community, people that have a good rapport, people, you know, coming from a traditional background. And also, we'll fast forward the last 3 years. I've actually employed some of the students that are now my teachers.
Right.
So
on.
Just kind of like, you know, keeping it moving circle. Forward and bringing our elders. You know, I've had a couple elders teach the classes. We've had some of the language speakers come into the class. And I really like when we do have that. They always set the tone, always sets the tone for everything, especially our elders. What else? We just do a lot this past year, being COVID and I was out of, you know, not able to really have classes. We did Zoom. And so we did a MOU, MOA with South Dakota State University School of Design. And they had over 100 and I think at last count was like 121 students attended the classes.
That's so impressive. I'm a former high school teacher, and I just think those numbers are great, and the work that you're doing is awesome. I got another question. How I came about you, we'll get back to education, but, you know, I know you were involved with the No DAPL, and I followed you. And can you tell us a little experience you had? You got to speak at the United Nations. Can you tell us how that was? In 2016, that was amazing from my vantage point. Can you tell us how that went with you?
So with camp, I was never like up in front. I was just more or less a logistics person. I didn't want to be a part of, you know, because we knew I lived here. I wasn't going anywhere. So I had to be respectful and having my grandmother and my mom, you know, basically, you know, you will not sleep at the camp. You won't be eating. You know, these are people that are coming in to help us. Mm. And so that was in perspective. But did a lot of back of the scene type work of logistics of, you know, helping out, making sure we had enough food, making sure we had wood, just logistics of any part of camp, from the bathrooms to yeah, it was pretty interesting, to say the least. Met a lot of great, awesome people. And then just, you know, how would you say, helping out logistically and, you know, from the beginning to the middle to the end, towards the end, I was reached out by Indigenous Environmental Network to go out to you, to United Nations, and then help. I was helping doing event planning for the marches and so forth, getting some of the Standing Rock and Roll members to go out on buses. We're helping coordinate all that and stuff. So I do a lot of event planning, so I always end up getting asked to help, which is fine. You know, I really like doing that work. And so when I went out to the UN was basically the perspective of what I thought was going on, to all the legalities, the injustices that were going on with the water protectors. Was able to speak. I tell you what, that was pretty intimidating, to say the least. But now I have lifetime friends, friends to the south, to the east, to the north, to the west. We're all fighting the same. I shouldn't say the same. We're all fighting pretty close to. To our spirituality, to our way of life. We're fighting against, you know, corporations. We've allowed, you know, we've allowed, I have to say we have allowed corporations to, you know, really really like show us where we're at. Mm-hmm. And here we are, you know, as Indigenous people, we didn't come with money, so it's really hard for us. It's always a struggle. It's a tough fight, but we do it because we still have that way of life. We still have our spirituality. And a lot of people was like, well, that's not gonna help you. And I'm like, yeah, it will, you know. Some way or another it will. If it's faith in the English term, but if it's the Wolokota of how we are, then so be it. We will continue. Just this past weekend, I was able to help Mobile with the Indigenous section of the Make Good Trouble rally in D.C. So, yeah, there's just so much that goes on. It's never a dull moment with me.
Wow. Jennifer, thank you so much for coming on. Lewis, yes. Thank you so much for getting this rock star guest here. We're going to have to get you back on again when we have more time. This has just been really awesome. Lewis, thank you so much. Pini Gigi.
Pila Mayai alo, Hankashi. Thank you for coming on, sister.
Yes. Palamiai.
Ho, wow, that was great. Wendy, you're listening to Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake, and we have our own Dr. Fauci coming on next, right, Wendy?
We do.
You're listening to Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake, and up next, Dr. Stately.
Stay with us.
Hey, Wendy, what are we doing for dinner after the show?
How about we go to Jay Selby's on 169 Victoria Street in St. Paul? They have a delicious plant-based menu that's compassionate and environmentally sustainable.
I'm getting their spot-on vegan Big Mac, the dirty secret.
You can pick up and they deliver within a five-mile radius, or you can call them at 651-222-3263 or visit jselbys.com.
Well, you sold me, Wen. Let's go order at Jay Selby's tonight.
I'm hungry.
Would you let animals pick your insurance? Do you really need to experience mayhem to get the best rates? Or how about a celebrity quarterback or fake university saving you money? There's a lot of marketing stunts when it comes to insurance, but what you really need is someone looking out for you. Call Array Insurance, and they will work hard to find you the best insurance coverage and rates. So avoid gimmicks and call Cheryl at Array, 763-504-3067 or arrayinsurance.com. Array Insurance, working hard for you.
In Minnesota, perinatal and postpartum mothers have legal protections to help keep them safe and healthy in the workplace. That means exclusions from heavy lifting, safe spots for breastfeeding, and more. The Women's Economic Security Act protects the rights of pregnant and postpartum women to work safely during pregnancy and to express breast milk at work. The Minnesota Department of Labor and Industry is here to help you and to protect your rights. Call 800-342-5354 or visit dli.mn.gov/newparents.
Appliance savings on a stick from Minnesota specialists at Warner Stellion. Plus, get an extra 5% back you won't find anywhere else. You'll save hundreds, even thousands, on top-rated in-stock appliances. Warner Stellion customers enjoy free delivery and haul away by our trusted specialists. And now, open a Warner's card for 18 months 0% financing and get a $100 bonus. Get 5% back on top-rated appliances during Savings on a Stick, only at Warner Stellion.
Minnesota has the only original wolf population in the continental United States, and 80% of Minnesotans believe the wolf should be protected. Howling for Wolves is asking Minnesotans to respect our true wildlife manager, the wolf. Their survival is critical to our ecosystems, our communities, and even our economy. As highly intelligent animals with strong social bonds, Minnesota wolves deserve to be protected and admired. Learn more at howlingforwolves.org. Let's live and let howl.
Hi, this is Desi Doyen of the Green News Report and the Bradcast. You're listening to AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota.
Tune in for Philosophy Talk, the program that questions everything.
Except your intelligence.
Coming up, the ethics of awesomeness.
The world would rock a lot harder if everybody tried to be a little more awesome.
Okay, but what do you mean by awesome?
You know, the opposite of, like, whack or sucky.
Well, a world with less suckiness would definitely rule.
The ethics of awesomeness. Next time on Philosophy Talk.
Philosophy Talk. Every Sunday at 8 a.m. and again at 2 p.m. on AM 950.
Turn to Auto Technical with your vehicle donation. We have families waiting for a car. You know, over 85% of unemployed are successful in finding and keeping a job if they have dependable transportation. A car plus a job equals a life changed. 612-919-5526. We have families waiting for a car. 919-5526 or autotech.org.
With your AM 950 weather, I'm Brett Johnson. Look for clear skies tonight with a low around 59, Tuesday sunny with a high near 77, and Wednesday sunny with a high around 76. Specializing in Szechuan and Peking dishes, the Great Wall Restaurant has been providing a delicious taste experience of authentic Chinese cuisine since 1981. And they have takeout available, too. The Great Wall Restaurant's located just north of 50th and France. Details at eatlocalminnesota.com.
You're listening to Native Roots Radio. This is Spirit from Reservation Dogs. Get up and listen.
we that got never, some that never gets old, Robert. Never gets old.
Right on, Lewis. I was just going to say the same thing. But first, let me say, you're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is brought to you by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Wow. Hey, we have rock star. It's rock star status, I think, after you've been on the show. And I remember when we were transitioning, Wendy, we had some little gaffes here and there. We wanted to do Zoom. We wanted to do StreamYard. We wanted to do all these things. And our guests, and especially Dr. Stately, because he didn't know us from Adam, stuck with us in those times where we appeared that we didn't know what we were doing.
We still appear, but it's only an appearance.
Yeah. I'm a better actor, I guess, after being on 5 days a week. I just want to give a shout-out before we get Dr. Stately in, too. To our Patreon, we've got a Patreon out there, and people are still supporting us, and you know, we're able to have a full-time and part-time employee and really work hard on what we do here all over Turtle Island to bring the news out there. So we want to say a peeny geegy thank you to all our Patreon supporters, too. Mm-hmm. Now enough with the commercial here, and let's get to the show, Wendy. We have Dr. Ante Stately. He's the CEO at the Native American Community Clinic, and we always love giving updates. And Dr. Stately, we had a wedding this weekend, and If I make it through this, I'm going to the fair Saturday.
Okay.
If I don't have COVID, because we had our masks on and then a lot of times we didn't. I know 90% of the people were vaccinated, but put a little tobacco out there for us, Dr. Staley.
Of course. I always have prayers up for you and all the other people that are part of my social network, but also my friends and family. I consider you friends and family, actually. I always think of them and pray for them. You know, it's an important thing for us to do. It's the one thing that we can do that doesn't cost us any money and doesn't really take any other resources other than just intentional thought.
We really appreciate that. And one of my, I just have to say this too, just to back up. When we first met you, it was at a symposium that we did. And one of the people I respect here in St. Paul in a good Indian way is Barry Hand. And he had nothing but things to say about you. And one of the things that early on in COVID that you didn't forget our brothers and sisters in St. Paul and reached out to them with either the vaccine or helping out. And I know that goes a long way with our community here in St. Paul. So I just wanted to give you a shout out too, because I was thinking about that. It's like, I just saw Barry this weekend. Mm.
Can I pop in with something really quick too about Barry?
Well, we're talking about Anthony, but you can definitely talk about Barry.
Well, it ties in with Dr. Staley, and it ties in with COVID, mm-hmm. too, is that Barry had come on one of our symposiums, I believe, and had talked about how, you know, the time of COVID-19 is hard. It's hard for a lot of people, but it's not like boil and eat your shoes for the leather hard. And I think that goes really in line with what Dr. Staley said about, you know, masks being the easiest way to prevent COVID without additional resources. I think that's a really important thing that people need to remember, is that it is not that hard to put a mask on in these times. So I just want to throw that out there, everybody. Wear a mask.
That's an awesome story to share. And, you know, I would much rather wear a mask than have to boil my shoes and eat the leather. So.
I don't wear leather shoes.
And especially, we're going to have you over for a big vegan burger and get you on the good side of health. We still have to do that, Wendy. Get one of those. We'll pound one out, one of those vegan ones. You won't even know the difference. I'm like going, oh, this is good. Wow. Okay. Going, this is gross. Oh, it reminds me of meat.
I'm ready for whenever. Yeah. I have a little bit of frog in my throat this evening, so I'm sorry if I sound off a little bit, but it's kind of happened overnight.
It's kind of James Brown. It's just kind of, you know, sassy over here, I think. You know, it sounds pretty cool.
Yeah.
Did you say James Brown?
I was going to say, like, I meant to pull that off.
Wait, not James Brown.
Just
sorry.
Like Barry White. Like Barry White.
Oh, Barry White. There you go. Barry White. Oh, yeah.
Thank you, Lewis.
I love that comparison. But I'm always so envious of Dallas's yelp, or his war cry. I was like, I end up sounding like a sick chicken. Even when I'm not sick, if I try to make that work right, so
the surprising thing is when we interviewed him, because we pre-recorded that interview, and we just asked him to do it. We didn't say, hey, will you do this and then do a war cry? That was all him. When we just all kind of stood there with our mouth open and go, okay, we only need one take.
It was only one take, too, wasn't it?
Yeah. Well, and that's another thing. Have you been keeping up on Reservation Dogs, Dr. Staley? I just saw the new episode. It's supposed to drop Monday, but they're Sunday
I'm
night.
I'm technically three episodes behind right now, so I'll try to watch one or two tonight.
Yeah.
Okay, no spoilers for Dr. Staley then, everybody.
I know, no spoilers. It's okay. I'm old enough that I'll forget. Even if you tell me now, I'll forget by 9 o'clock.
Well, the one today that came out was really, really funny. I'll just put it that way. It was like a really good humor.
And where can people watch Reservation Dogs? Remind everybody.
On Hulu, but we don't get any money from Hulu. It's Hulu, so I'm not
Hulu
bringing it up.
FX, isn't it? Hulu FX, yeah.
So
yeah,
Hulu owes money now that we
you have open sponsorships with Native Roots Radio, right, Robert? In case they want to talk to us.
Yeah,
Hulu. Hulu's not a sponsor.
That's a really
yet.
Good idea. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, hey. So now we've really had a long intro here, so we should go into the meat of this, the vegan meat of this show and interview, and that's what's give us some updates on what's going on here with schools opening, concerts happening, weddings happening, Sturges just happened. What's the beat of the drum here?
You know, I had family that went to the fair on Friday and Saturday. I mean, Thursday and Friday, I think of the first day was Thursday of last week, correct? Mm-hmm. And thankfully for the rain, like my niece texted me on Thursday night and she was like, there's nobody here. It's like, you know, it's like the Walking Dead here. There's like, and she took like pictures of it and sent it to me. And I was, and it was because of the rain. And I was like, well, thank God, because like, you know, there's no crowds really for you to be like, you know, swallowed up in. Literally and figuratively. But I think one of the things that, you know, I've been struggling with this my own self with my children. My children want to go to the fair and I'm like, well, you know, gosh, all the evidence seems to suggest that even in large open air events where you could potentially be like sandwiched together with people for longer than 10 or 15 minutes, you should probably like, you know, wear a mask and or think twice about going if you're unvaccinated. Mm-hmm. And the evidence is fairly clear that it's this particular variant is very easy to transmit and easy to acquire, right? So somewhere between 2 and 2.5 times more transmissible. So that's pretty substantial. I hope that people, if they do go to things like fairs and outdoor events and those kinds of things, that they mask up and or, you know, just practice as much as they possibly can, you know, the safety protocols we know, which is like just sort of kind of, you know, if you don't know if somebody's been vaccinated or you don't know their health status, you like would try to be a little bit more thoughtful and keep some safe distance. You know, I know a bunch of Indians that can talk loud enough to be 6 feet apart and still understand every word they say. So myself included. So.
Well, I think like not only just walking around the fair, but I really feel like these concerts that they're having. I just, you know, mm-hmm. love to go and see mm-hmm. Hall & Oates tonight. You know, but we just can't. I just.
Yeah, somebody on my Facebook, a friend of mine, is going tonight to Hall & Oates, and you know, she just said that I hope the people behind me aren't going to be singing along. If not, I'm going to have to turn around and say, you know, please don't sing. But
well, that's another show too, because we always sit by out of tune singers, and I have to really look at them mean and give them the stoic look, because it's like I didn't come here to listen to you sing, right, Wendy? Yeah. Oh my God!
Yeah. Oh, well, COVID just makes it worse. Like you not only were out of tune, but you can also make me possibly sick. So please be quiet.
Totally. Oh,
so I we were having, my family and I were planning on going to Los Angeles to see some friends and some people that we consider family because I lived there for 20 years almost. And we canceled our trip because I just don't want to be in a situation where I don't have a lot of control over my environment. You know, hotels are twice as expensive now because there's hardly anybody, and no staff to sort of staff them. Hotels are wildly expensive. I also don't want to get into a situation where I'm like in another part of the country and I don't have a lot of control over whether or not I have access to healthcare or emergency services, those kinds of things. And I just don't want to be around like some of the really big hotspots, and Los Angeles is definitely a hotspot. So mm-hmm. we're just staying home. We're going to practice. We'll have a staycation of some type. I'm not really sure what we're going to do. Hard to make Prior Lake look like and feel like Los Angeles, but we'll give it our best shot.
I did want to add real quick, you know, there's hurricanes right now in, you know, Louisiana, mm-hmm. a lot of power mm-hmm. outage there. I heard this morning that they couldn't move patients because ICU hospitals are so filled with COVID victims that they couldn't move it. I mean, this is reality, right, doctor?
Yep. I think that's the unintended consequence of some of this. And I think one of the things that I think a lot of people don't think about those things, they don't like think, oh, okay, well, I'll just go to the hospital, my local hospital, if I get sick, so sick that I can't like, that I can't, you know, breathe, or I feel like I need some emergency services, not recognizing that the fact that you might be not lucky enough to get a bed. Lots of hospitals are at like 95, 96, 97% full for, in terms of their ICU beds. And then there's also like, I think there's the converse is true too, which is, there are so many, full ICU beds in some jurisdictions that people who like have emergency need for, like, let's say you have a heart attack and you are some other type of like critical issue, like a horrible car accident. There's no ICU beds or trauma beds available for people in many jurisdictions. So just thinking about like the impact of the entire health infrastructure is a really important thing to consider.
Yeah, that's a good point, Lewis. And I know they were talking about over 100,000 people are going to be displaced from their homes. So this is like the worse than Katrina, and it was on the same day as Katrina, like
16 years ago.
Just so sad.
So Dr. Stately, do you have time for another segment here with us here at Native Roots Radio? Awesome.
Hey. Anything for you.
Oh, hey, got $1 million. We'll be right back after this short break, and we're with Dr. Stately. Stay with us.
Stay with us.
Stay with us.
Minnesota has the only original wolf population in the continental United States, and 80% of Minnesotans believe the wolf should be protected. Howling for Wolves is asking Minnesotans to respect our true wildlife manager, the wolf. Their survival is critical to our ecosystems, our communities, and even our economy. As highly intelligent animals with strong social bonds, Minnesota wolves deserve to be protected and admired. Learn more at howlingforwolves.org. Let's live and let howl.
Hey, Cudahy, to all my friends and relatives in four directions. This is Robert Pilot of Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake. I'm here to ask you for your support. Finding honest, Native-centered news is not easy. But with your support, we're able to provide accurate information about Standing Rock, Line 3, treaty violations, and COVID-19 in our Native communities. Please visit Native Roots Radio Network on Patreon and donate if you can. That's Native Roots Radio Network on Patreon. Pinigigi, and thank you for your support.
Hey, Ogama, I've been hearing a lot about this term, climate justice. What is that?
Climate justice is recognizing that the negative impacts of climate change don't affect all people equally. It also means transitioning from a fossil fuel-based economy to a more sustainable future. MN350 is one of the groups that's pushing for this transition to protect our futures. You can even get involved, too.
That's great, especially since I'm concerned about pipeline projects like Line 3. How can I help MN350?
Just find them on Facebook or visit mn350.org.
Life is a journey, and the Doherty Family College will help you get where you want to go. Located downtown Minneapolis, this affordable two-year college provides free textbooks, a laptop, meals, career coaches, one-on-one mentorship, and a Metro Transit Pass, making DFC the perfect pathway to a bachelor's degree. Turn your dreams into reality. Connect with a counselor today at dfc.stthomas.edu.
Hi, I'm Jane Fonda, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
Welcome back. Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakan Jahade.
This portion of the show is brought to you by Howling for Wolves, protecting wolves for future generations.
We just heard the soul singer howl, Anthony Stately. Hey, everybody, I'm about to howl. Hey, Wendy, we were talking during the break. You got a good point. Do you want to ask Dr. Stately?
I was just asking, you know, we're hearing a lot about the booster now or the second, your third vaccine when you should get it. And they're kind of saying 8 months after you've been fully vaccinated. So Robert and I will be due sometime in November, and we're definitely will get our booster or our third vaccine, whatever you want to call it, as soon as we're able. Do you have any updates on the booster or when you should get it? When's the best time or any information on that yet?
Well, I think so there's recommendations now that if you have, you know, if you have an autoimmune disease or you suffer, if you have lower immunity for any range of chronic issues, they're recommending that you might want to get a third dose, especially if there's some evidence that you didn't launch a adequate enough response with the first two doses. And one of the things that we're doing at NAC is we're calling everybody in our primary care clinic that has that this might impact. So this should be people with like things like rheumatoid arthritis,
lupus,
cancer treatment, survivors, right. Those kinds of things. If you're in like some type of organ transplant or those kinds of things. So trying to contact those individuals that might be impacted by that and have a consultation with them and determine whether or not they should consider getting a third dose. And I think that's a really important thing to do. I know like there are lots of people that who have autoimmune diseases that are anxious about getting the vaccine even initially because there's only a handful of studies that have been done on the results of the vaccine and its ability to and its impact on people with autoimmune disease. There's also significant evidence from the small studies that have been done or the few studies that have been done that seem to demonstrate that the impact of getting one of the mRNA vaccines is any more profound than the effect that it has on folks without autoimmune disease. So that's a promising finding. And I am telling, pretty much anybody that I know, including some relatives, is like, if you have one of those conditions, I would consult your primary care doctor and also a specialist that you're seeing. Have a conversation about them, about your specific condition and follow their recommendations. The person who knows your own health best is probably the person you've had a long relationship with as a primary care doc and our specialist if you're in that situation. So kind of just encouraging people to take the time and have a conversation with those doctors in your life that sort of kind of know your condition most well. So
we're here with Barry White. Dr. Stately. one of the things too, have we had the other vaccines, how far are they away from being accepted by the FDA? And are we seeing a boost of people now getting vaccinated
We are seeing across Minnesota, but also across the nation, just vaccines go up, vaccine acceptance go up significantly. And a lot of that has to do with people recognizing that either folks that they know or people around them or communities around them that are hotspots are seeing significant increases in infection. So people are like a little bit more motivated now. I think it also helps that, in some jurisdictions you can get anywhere between $100 to $200, $300 sometimes, depending on, where you're at as an incentive to get the vaccine.
I know there's a tribe in Wisconsin that's giving $500 to their members.
It's true. I got my check last week.
Oh, and we're hoping for ours soon, but yeah. It's amazing because they know how important it is, because Lewis talks about this too, how some tribes are really vaccinated and other tribes are not. And it's just, it's hard to see and watch.
There's been a lot of across many communities, there's wide discrepancies between folks who have accepted and taken up the vaccine and kind of pursued it for initially. But I think that's true of practically everything there are just some people that are early adopters and other people who need more evidence and need to be convinced. And then some people who need a lot of incentive, a monetary incentive. But that's true of a lot of things. That's true of like technology and all these other things. I didn't buy an iPhone until they were like on iPhone 7 or 8 or something like that.
You didn't drink the Kool-Aid. Well, I did, I think I jumped on when there was a 4, and then I've been addicted ever since. And I know we drank the Kool-Aid early on, Wendy. Mm-hmm. But
I do have a question.
Oh, go ahead, Lewis.
Well, yeah, sure. Just real quick, you know, I know we talked about earlier there is a vaccination event happening with NAC, I think on Friday. Yep. And, you know, we always talk about reservations as being, you know, the hubs of Indigenous people, but only 22% of Indigenous people live on reservations. Majority of us live off of it. So, you know, you look at South Minneapolis and we talked to Robert Littlegren about, you know, the culture and the Indigenous culture of Minneapolis as well. Can you talk a little bit about why it's important to engage the community, especially the Indigenous community, in these type of events that you're holding?
For sure. I think that's it's really important because of a lot of reasons. One, we have, you know, we tend as families in South Minneapolis. It's not to say that it's true about all Native people, but we have a substantial amount of Native people that live in South Minneapolis and throughout the Twin Cities that are you know, are on the lower end of the economic scale, right? So they sometimes live in overpopulated housing, small units where there's families that are sometimes doubled up in those kinds of situations. And in those kinds of situations, what you find is like COVID infection can kind of spread very rapidly within that type of situation. We also have, like, you know, we're a really closely tight-knit community in lots of ways. We have, you know, we have share a lot of the same values independent of, like, our specific cultural perspective. But we have some core values that, you know, where we value our relatives, we value our elders and our children, those kinds of things. And in this context, one of the things that, you know, we often see, you know, is that here we are in a situation where we can't get young people under the age of 12 vaccinated at all, which leaves, you know, all the children that are up to, you know, from little babies all the way up to 11 years old, vulnerable in this situation. We have a bunch of elders who have chronic health conditions who can't get vaccinated even if they wanted to. They are pretty vulnerable as well. And one of those situations, we really want to encourage our community members to sort of do their part to protect, you know, everybody that's part of the community. You know, and the best way to do that is to get a vaccine, and also wear your mask and to, you know, socially distance when it's appropriate and those kinds of things. Monitor your fever and those kinds of things, because it is really the best way to prevent folks from getting sick.
Well, thank you, Dr. Stately, for being on and speaking the truth and our truth we need to hear. And thank you, Jen Martell, for being on, and Ogama with the News, and Wendy just being here and supporting me and supporting us all. I'd like to end with these thoughts. The ground in which we stand is sacred ground. We need to resist, divest, join a group, and run for office. We are still here.
Free Leonard Peltier.